You know, I don't want to ruin any of your plans or burst any bubbles, I guess, but when it comes to New Year traditions, one of my least favorite things about New Year's traditions are New Year's resolutions. That's just me. I know some of you, you look forward to January 1st and you got to set your resolutions. For some reason, it just doesn't click with me. For me, I'm one of those people that says, if you need to do something, just do it now. If you need to make a change, just make a change now. Why wait until another day? You say, well, it's March 20th. I'm just going to wait until January 1st to make the whatever the day is. You know, if you need to do something different, do something different. If you need to make a resolution about life, then do that. And by all means, don't wait until January 1st. But today is the 1st. So, hey, if you need to make changes, don't wait for another day, right? I mean, this is the day. But for some reason, the whole idea of resolutions is just to me it seems arbitrary, but if it works for you, great. Keep doing it. But I'll tell you, for most of you, it doesn't work. Research shows. Think about this. Research, whoever the researchers are, you can find any kind of research on the internet. So research shows that by February, 80% of people have dropped their resolutions. What does that tell you? We're not very serious about it. I mean, you can't even go a month and a half, and you're already dropping it. And so they say by the end of the year, and I think this number's high, by the end of the year, only 8% of people have actually followed through on their resolution at the beginning of the year. That indicates that on January 1st, some people set out to do something, and 92% of them failed at what they set out to do. That's not a good score. I mean, it's been a while since I've been in school, but, 8% on a test, I don't think is a very high score. But as you look into that research and try to figure out, okay, what are some reasons? What are some reasons that cause 92% of these things to fail? Sometimes they have found that the goals were not specific enough. They set goals, but they were so open and so generic that they didn't fulfill them because they were not specific enough. Sometimes they've looked at it and said, well, they set goals, but the goals were not realistic. There was just no way that they were going to meet that goal. Or maybe they set a goal, but their heart wasn't in it. I mean, they set a goal and said, here's what I'm going to do. But they weren't really sold. They weren't really going to do what needed to be done. And so by February, 80% of them just dropped it. Why we're talking about that today is that sort of carries over into sometimes our plans to read through the Bible. Sometimes we set out on January 1st to say, I'm going to read the Bible. And statistics show that 80% of us, by the time February comes, we've given up on it. And I don't know the reasons for all of that. Perhaps it's because by the time you get to February, you're in the book of Leviticus, and you're buried into some of these details of Leviticus, and you're thinking, I'm not even sure what I'm reading here. But for whatever the reason, if you take those statistics about all New Year's resolutions and you apply it to our efforts to read the Bible, for whatever reason, we don't always follow through with our plans. And I don't know about you. I'm okay at failing at some things. Not a lot, because I'm a perfectionist. But I'm okay at failing at some things. But at reading the Bible, that's just not something that I just want to say I'm not going to do. It's not something I want to set out on a plan to do and then not follow through with that plan. What is there? What is there that we could do this year? What is there that we could do individually this year? What is there that we could do collectively this year to say, let's read the Bible? Let's make that the focus of who we are and of what we do, and let's make daily Bible reading a habit. What can we do about that? I want you to kind of chew on that. And some of you already know where this is going. I want you to chew on that for a little while. And why don't you get your Bibles and go to Psalm 119. Because as I was thinking about this lesson, as I was thinking about the plans for the new year, as I was thinking about how do we emphasize the need for Bible study? How do we emphasize the rewards, the personal rewards that come from Bible study? I got my Bible out and I just started going to passages all over the place and I started making a list of reasons that we need to study the Bible and of rewards that we get from studying the Bible. And more, I just started gravitating back to Psalm 119. So all I want to do for just the next few minutes is just park right here in Psalm 119. You've got 176 verses in this chapter. We're not going to look at all 176 of them. But you have 176, longest chapter in all of the Bible. There's not another chapter that comes close to it. God, why didn't you break this up? Why put 176 verses all in one chapter? Because this chapter focuses in on the greatness of the Word of God, of the beauty of the Word of God, and what I need to do when I come to it and what it does for me when I get into it. And so I want to spend just a few minutes sharing with you some personal rewards that you can get from the Word of God to see that here's what God's Word can do and here's what God's Word will do when I get into it. And I'm going to put a lot of verses on the screen. We're not looking at all of them. I don't expect you to write all of them down unless you've got one of those go-go gadget hands that, you know, really writes fast. But I just want you to think about what God's Word can and will do for you. The first two verses say that God's Word will bless you. Do you believe that? Here's a personal reward. You get into the Word of God and God's Word will bless you. You get in the Word of God and God's Word will direct you. I want to look at some of these verses. Go over to verse 101. Look at verse 101. I have restrained my feet from every evil way. Why? That I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments. Why? For you yourself have taught me. What's happening here? God's word directs us. You know verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What does that indicate? That God's word directs me. God's word shows me where I need to go. Look at verse 133. Verse 133 says, direct my steps by your word. Here we are trying to live a life that's pleasing to God. How do we know how to do that? How about we get into God's Word and allow it to direct us? One of the things, probably the thing that this chapter teaches more than anything else, what will God's Word do for us? It will teach you. Look at all of these verses. We're not going to look at all of these verses, but look at all of these verses here that teach, that God's Word teaches us. Look at verse 98. Look at verse 98. You, talking to God, you, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all of my teachers. Well, how do you have that? For your testimonies are my meditation. I get into God's Word, and God's Word teaches me. Look at verse 130. Look at verse 130. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Look at verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding. How? Where's the understanding going to come from? According to your word. Personal reward that I have when I get into the Bible is that it directs me. I get into God's word. And if you want God to speak to you, open your Bible. You want God to teach you, open your Bible. That's what you see in Psalm 119. It's God's word that teaches us God's truth. What else does God's word do for me? It protects me. And I put these two things together, teaching you and protecting you, because as I read through this psalm this last week, these were the ones that seemed to come out more than anything else. Look at the list, just the number of verses here that talk about the protection that God's people receive from the Word of God. Look over in verse 86. We won't look at all of these, but just look at verse 86. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. Well, how's that going to happen? They almost made an end of me on the earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Everybody's trying to do me wrong. What's going to help me? God's word. Look at verse 95. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. People are out to get me, but I will consider your testimonies. People are out to do me wrong. What's going to help me get through this? God's word. Look at verse 114. Verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Over and over. this chapter screams to us. We get into the Word of God, it directs us, it teaches us, and it protects us. You get into God's Word, and it will change you. Look in verse 59. Look in verse 59. I thought about my ways. Think about this. I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I thought about where I was going. Not a good idea. So I turned. I changed. God's Word will change you. I turned my feet to your testimonies. Look in verse 60. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Look in verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I was going all over the place. But now I keep your word. You get into God's word, personal reward, it'll change you. You get into God's word, it will save you. You get into God's word, it will enliven you. There's at least half a dozen verses that talk about how God's word just gives me life. Are you feeling down? You're feeling out? God's Word will give you life. It will enliven you. The Bible says that God's Word will grow you. It will mature you. It will cultivate you. All of these verses on this last line are verses that use the word meditate or meditation. What happens when I sit down with just me and God? What happens when I sit down with just me and the Bible and meditate? I grow. I mature. I become more like the person God wants me to be. I want you to spend time and looking at these things and think, these are personal rewards, not just rewards other people can have. These are personal rewards that I have. You got all of those? How about some more? When I come to God's Word can and will purify you. In verse 9, you know where it says, how shall a young man or any man or woman or person cleanse their way, purify their way? By taking heed to your word. God's word will help me to become what God wants me to be. God's word will help to encourage me. I don't know everything that's meant at the end of verse 32, but it talks about God and His word enlarging your heart. What does that mean? God's word will enlarge your heart. It will encourage you. It will help you to help other people to enlarge their hearts. Psalm 119 says God's word will comfort you. Some of you are not where you want to be. Some of you have had a hard year. Some of you have gone through some trials and difficulties in recent days and months. Look in verse 76. Go over in verse 76. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort. Where's that going to come from? According to your word. Where can I receive comfort? Oh, I can receive comfort from a variety of places, but have I received true comfort from God's word? Look in verse 143. Verse 143. Trouble and anguish. Is this you? Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. Look in verse 148. My eyes are awake. You have trouble sleeping? You have trouble getting to sleep? You have troubles that are keeping you awake? What does he say that he does? My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Romans chapter 15. Verse 4, you know, it says those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. The rest of that verse says that so that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. God's Word can and will comfort you. God's Word can and will uphold you, lift you up from where you have been. God's Word can and will calm you. It will give you, this verse says in verse 165, it will give you great peace when you spend time in it. God's Word can and will, and I'm trying to come up with a word here. I've had the word amaze. God's Word will wow you when you get into it. Look at verse 18. It talks about when I read the wonderful works of God, I get into the Bible and I read some amazing things about God. I read some amazing things that God has done. It will wow you. Look in verse 161. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. Is that you? Have you read through the Bible and just stood in awe of God? Stood in awe of God and His power? God's Word will uphold you. God's Word will amaze you and wow you. God's Word will, when you get into it, it will captivate you. Some of you like a good book. Some of you have bought a new book and you've said, I bought the book and I couldn't put it down. God's Word will captivate you. Look over, what verse do I want? Look at verse 20. There's a lot of verses. Look at verse 20. All of these verses that are up here on this line for captivate you, they've either got the word longing or cling to or seek or faint for. Just this, verse 20 says, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Look over in verse 131. Talk about captivating you. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. God's word will grab a hold of you. It will wow you. It will captivate you. It will delight you. I'm amazed, and I knew there were a few, but I didn't realize how many times throughout this chapter it talked about how God's word was His delight. What do you find delight in? The psalmist says, I find delight in God's word. Look at verse 103, just one verse here. Look at verse 103. Look at verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Have you had any sweets? Or do you have a sweet tooth? Have you had any cookies in the last 2 weeks? Here's sweeter than anything. Something that brings me delight is the Word of God. God's Word will delight you. God's Word will cheer you. There's verses throughout this chapter that talk about the rejoicing that comes from being inside of God's Word. Look in verse 162. We'll just look at two verses here. Look at verse 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I get over there and it just cheers me up to find it. Look at verse 164. Seven times a day I praise you. Why are you praising God seven times a day? Because of the Bible. Because of what God's word can and will do for me. God's word will satisfy you like nothing else can. You won't find something else like the Bible that will satisfy you. I want you to think about the personal rewards that you can have for getting inside of the Word of God. You got all of those? How about just a few more? I mean, this chapter just exploded with me this last week. This book, God's Word, will reassure you. Every one of these verses has the word hope in it. Do you hope in God's Word? Does God's Word help you to have hope even when times aren't looking good? God's Word can and will revive you. I knew there were a couple, three verses in this chapter. I didn't realize how many verses in this chapter had that word revive in it. God's Word will pick you up and revive you to serve Him even more this year than you have before, if you'll get into it and let it do it. That's what God's Word is going to do for you. God's Word can and will strengthen you when you don't feel very strong. God's Word can and will fortify you. And it doesn't use the word fortify, but look over in verse 75. Look in verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. When you get that in your heart, I know that what you've said is right. God's Word will fortify you. You will build a foundation. Look at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's not changing. No matter what happens around me, God's word doesn't change. Look in verse 128. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. God's word will give you a foundation upon which to stand that you won't question anything that's in the Bible. God's word can and will embolden you. Every one of these verses has the idea of not being shamed or put to shame when I get into God's word. God's word can and will motivate you. Are you lacking motivation? Get into the word of God. God's word can and will move you. Every single one of these verses has the word love in it. Just change the L to an M. When I love the word of God, what will it do? It will move you. Last thing, what will God's word do for you? If you will allow it, it will consume you. You will get into it and it will absolutely consume you. Look at verse 10. Most of these, not all of these, but most of these verses on here have the idea of the whole heart. Look in verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Look in verse 123. 123. My eyes fail from searching your salvation and your righteous word. I've been in the Bible so much that it's just consuming my eyes can't take any more, but I want to get into it more and more. Look at verse 139. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. You know, Kirk, as I was looking through Psalm 119 this week, I'm like, we need a whole class on Psalm 119. You can put me down for that in a couple of years. We'll just spend a whole period, just a whole series of classes looking at this psalm, because here's 176 verses that tell you, here's the beauty. Here's the awesomeness of God's Word. Here's what God's Word can and will do for you. Here are the personal rewards. But with those personal rewards, I want to take those personal rewards and say, all right, but there's a personal realization that comes from that. God's Word absolutely can and will do all of these things. But it will only do these things for you when you spend time in it. And it spends time in you. We listed 26 things that God's Word can and will do just from Psalm 176. It's a powerful book. It's a life-changing book, but it will not do those things for you sitting on the coffee table. It will not do those things sitting on the front seat of your car. It will not do those things sitting on your nightstand without being opened. We've got to spend time in it so that it can spend time in us, so that it can truly be the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. But as you think about those personal rewards that we get, as you are faced with that personal realization, I need to get into it. Can I ask you to spend just a couple minutes in personal reflection? What we do every day pretty much defines who we are and what we are. What do you do every day? A lot of us are defined by our job. Oh, you are a mechanic. You are a accountant. You are a... Why? Because we spend so much time doing that, that's how we are defined. What you do every day defines who you are and defines what you are. What do you do every day? I'll guarantee something every one of you... except those of you who have been working for the last... you worked all night... But I guarantee the rest of you who didn't work all night and you came here, I can guarantee something that you, every single one of you did. You woke up today. You know what? You woke, and when you wake up every day, you know what that indicates? You've got a God who's given you life. There's a God who gave you life when you woke up. I suspect that most of you, I know I did, I suspect that most of you have already eaten today. I suspect that most of you eat every day. I'm just guessing. I'm not around you all the time. But Jerry, I suppose you eat every... I'm just guessing. You eat every day. You know what that shows? You not only have a God who's giving you life, you've got a God who's taking care of you and blessing you. But when you look at those two things, guess what? Everybody else in the world woke up today too. All of your neighbors are probably going to have something to eat today too. What is there about you as a child of God that's different than everybody else? Can I ask you to spend some time in personal reflection? What is there about you as a child of God that sets you apart from everybody else? Do you truly desire the Word of God? 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Do you yearn for it? When you don't have it for a while, are you okay? When you don't have it for a while, do you feel hungry? When you don't have it for a while, do you notice anything about you? Or is it maybe not a big deal? Do you desire it? Is that who you are? Are you, when it comes to God's Word, are you diligent in your study of it? 2 Peter 2 and verse 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, be diligent, study, be diligent to show yourself to prove unto God. When you think about your study habits, would you use the word diligent to describe it? If you desire God's Word, if you're diligent in its study, are you developing into the image of Jesus? Are you developing in your relationship with God? You see, you can't get over to this point of developing in your relationship with God if you don't have a desire for God's Word. You can't get over here and develop and grow deeper in your relationship with God if you are not diligent in spending time with God. I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip this morning. This morning is all about motivation. Are you developing your relationship with God through a study of His Word? I don't know about you. I've done it too often. I get in my mind, I'm going to read the Bible. And I start out really good for a few days, and then something happens, and then it just kind of blows up. I get distracted. I get behind in the schedule I wanted to keep. You ever been there? Sometimes we get a reading through the Bible in a year schedule, and basically you've got to read 3 chapters a day in order to keep up with that. And that's a good plan. But if you get behind a couple, 3 days on that schedule, now what? Now you've got to read 9 or 10 chapters to catch up. Oh, never mind. I'll just try it again next year. New Year's resolution next year, all right? I'll just try next January 1st and I'll do better. You've been there. What's the deal? We set goals sometimes that are not realistic for us. Maybe we've set out and our heart just isn't into it. Maybe we've set out to read and, you know, you just feel like, well, nobody else knows if I'm going to quit. So if I quit, nobody else realizes this. So it's no big deal. We don't feel like there's any group involvement in it. It's just me and what I'm doing. And so the elders have talked for years and they've shared with us for years, what we need to do as children of God, individually and collectively, is we need to spend time in God's Word. That's how we grow. That's how we develop. That's how we draw closer to the Lord. That's how we change the world, is by getting into God's Word. So our elders have talked about what would happen. What would happen if every member of Palm Beach Lakes spent time studying the Bible every week? And they went through the same reading program. But what would happen if everybody spent time reading the Bible, spent time in God's Word every day? And so you've seen it on Facebook a month ago. You've seen all the stuff out in the lobby. The theme for 2023 is just simply going to be a chapter a day. If you take a week, 7 days, some of you work 5 days and you're off for 2 days. Some of you work 3 days and you're off for 4 days. I don't know how all of that works, but go figure. If you take a week, what if you read 5 days a week? If you take 5 days out of a week, how many weeks are in a typical year? 52 weeks, right? So you take five, if you read for 5 days out of a week, 52 weeks, that's 260 days. 260 days a year. Could you read 260 days a year? I was amazed when it finally clicked to me that here's 5 days a week, 52 weeks, 260 days. Do you know how many chapters are in the New Testament? 260. Go figure. If you read 5 chapters a week, 5 days a week, you'll read through the New Testament in a year. Some of you say, well, I'm used to reading through the whole Bible in a year, reading through the New Testament year. That's not very much. That's a lot. You're going to read through 27 books of the New Testament. You're going to read about the covenant that God has made with His children today. Could you read a chapter a day? Could you find time to sit down and just pick up God's Word and carve out some time in your day to just say, I'm going to read 1 chapter a day. Now, what the elders want to do is not just say, okay, let's give a reading schedule and everybody just kind of go off on your own and read. The elders wanted to figure out, okay, how can we as a congregation read through the Bible together? How can we figure out a way to read through so that we feel like we're doing this together, so that we're all on the same literal or figurative page in reading through the Bible? And so as plans have developed and have come together for this for 2023, the elder said, let's figure out a way to have the same kind of schedule. And so you saw the posters when you came in, and this will be in the bulletin every week. We say, here are the chapters. Here are the chapters that we want to read this week. So here's January 1st, starting off first day of the year. Can you read Matthew chapter 1 today? It's only got 25 verses in it. Matthew chapter 2 tomorrow. Matthew chapter 3 the next day. Could you, before next Sunday, just read a chapter a day for 5 days? And come back next Sunday and have already read through 5 chapters in your Bible. What would that help us as a congregation? Would it help us as a congregation for all of us when we come back next Sunday to think, you know what? We've all just read the same part of the Bible together. We've all been in Matthew chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 together for the last week. And so the plan is that not only to have these visual reminders for you, but we've got out on the table, and some of you picked them up when you came in, and that's why they were there for you to grab them on your way in. We've got the sermon and Bible class notes book for you to have and to use this year, and it's just got those blank pages in it again, just like they have before, for you to be able to take notes during sermons and Bible classes. And the plan this year, and it won't be every week, the plan this year is for the sermons on Sunday mornings to basically come from our readings. So the sermons on Sunday morning will either be from the 5 chapters that we just read the previous week, or maybe from the 5 chapters that we're getting ready to read, so that even when we come together and worship, there's reminders about us. There's nuggets of information that we're getting to say, okay, that's a part of my reading before, or that's going to be a part of my reading coming up, keeping us as a congregation kind of focused together on this. But would it be helpful to have some kind of a guide? Not just a schedule that says read this chapter this day, or read this chapter this day, or read this chapter this day. But would it be helpful to have some information that went along with it? Some kind of a guide that could be used to say, let's use this in our study as well. And so the elders have got one of these books for everybody who's here today. And they're on those tables that were covered up when you came in so that you wouldn't be looking through this all the way through the worship today. But it's a 700-page book that is designed to help you read through the New Testament this year. It's not the Bible. It's to help us to get into the Bible. It's to help us to love the Bible. It's to help us to understand the Bible and want to know the Bible even more. And so this is just designed as a help to get into the New Testament. And so it has the reading schedule as a part of it. And so as you step through this book, each week is going to, and I know you can't see all of that up there, I'll zoom in on some of this. Each week's going to have the reading schedule. Just read this chapter on this day. The week starts out with a prayer, and every week is different. Here's a prayer for this week. Heavenly Father, help me to truly set aside time to study your word this week. And every week has a different prayer. So here's a page that says, here's the schedule for this week. And then as you open it, as you go through the pages, every day has its own page. And every day has three helpful notes for that reading. This particular chapter, Matthew 3, it's got a note about the Pharisees, a note about the Sadducees, a note about righteousness. And so here's just some information that might help you to understand. Who are these Pharisees people? Who are these Sadducees? What's this stuff I'm reading about? So it just has some helpful notes for you that can help you to understand what you're reading. Every day has three review questions. Simple questions, easy to get your children involved in. They're not deep theological questions. Most of them are just review or application questions that are easy for anybody who reads through it. You can read through it with your children. And then ask your children these questions at the end of the reading. Each day has a verse pulled out from that chapter. A verse for you to spend time meditating. We didn't call it a memory verse, but just a verse for meditation. For it to pray through this verse. To read over it several times and to write it upon your heart. And so every day for 5 days, you read through a chapter. You use that page to have some helpful information about the chapter. But at the end of that week, and it's marked off as kind of day six to mark your Bible. But at the end of the week, on day six, there are pages where you can have some information that you can go and mark in your Bible. You may not choose to mark in your Bible all of these things. Some of these things tend to be more of a helpful commentary than a mark in your Bible, but you may want to make some notes in your Bible. So here's what I would encourage you to do. Don't use an app. I know you love your apps, and I know you love your mobile devices. I'm an old school guy. I love my Bible because my phone can die and my computer can crash. Oh, let's not even talk about those things happening. But you know, my Bible has been with me through thick and thin. And some of you have notes that you wrote out in the margin of your Bible years ago, and they're still there with you today. So here are places where you can mark your Bible, either writing notes, or there'll be some places you circle this or underline this or write this verse out there. So have a Bible you can write in. Now, you're not going to find a lot of stuff in here that you're going to find in your Bible already. Some of you already have Bibles that have some kind of a center column reference or have some kind of end of verse notes that say, you know, here's Matthew 1 and verse 23. See also Isaiah 7 and verse 14, because that's the fulfillment of that verse. These mark your Bible. It's assuming you already have a Bible like that, that already have some of those marginal and reference passages. I would encourage you to get some of those Micron Pigma pens. Those pens that don't bleed through, don't mark in your Bible with a Sharpie. Maybe you learned that already. Not a good idea. Gonna bleed through. Get some of those Micron Pigma pens, the ink that so that you can mark in there and it doesn't bleed through the other side. But you can mark and you can do this any day. Some of you may choose when you do Matthew chapter 1, what I would encourage you to do, jump over to the Mark Your Bible section and see what Mark Your Bible notes are over there for Matthew chapter 1. They may help you in your reading. You may choose when you read Matthew chapter 1 to go ahead and mark your Bible on that day. You may not wait until day 6 to mark your Bible. And I'll tell you something. Some of these Mark Your Bible, some of them got up to 70 different Mark Your Bible things. You won't be able to do all of that in one day. But maybe you could do it on day 6 and day 7. But find a way to take the information. It's not just about meaningless markings. It's about writing these things on your heart, helping us to dig into the Word of God and to become better students and to develop that relationship with God. On day 7 of each week is called a day of reflection. That when you get there and if you've done all of your reading, if you've done all of your markings, you can just say, okay, what have I learned this week? And it has the same four questions every day of reflection. What can I learn? What can I apply? What do I want to go back and study more when I have some time? So here's a book. You just start writing in the book. Just start taking notes right there. Here's what I want to come back and remember from this particular chapter. You get over to the end of the book. There's some helpful information at the end of the book. There's an appendix that has some introductions to the various books just to give you some brief information about who wrote it, who it was written to, about the time it was written, what was the theme of the book. And so each of the books will have one of those so that you can have, okay, when did Paul write Galatians? What's Galatians all about? When did Peter write? What's that? Just brief information, not a lot, but just to give you a glimpse, a snapshot idea of what is in those particular books. And then the very last section of the book is, I don't know, maybe a 20-page index. I don't know how many pages are in the index, but this may prove helpful, and I think it will prove helpful to you, that you may get later on in your reading, since we had it already up there, you may be reading later about the Pharisees. You're like, wait a minute, who were the Pharisees? I remember there was something in here about the Pharisees, but okay, this is like 700 pages. Where am I going to find that note about the Pharisees? The index is in the back to help you to go back and find that in the back. Or you may be reading about something, and you're like, I don't know what that means. Look up in the index. It may be explained later on in the book. And so you may be able to look it up in the, oh, okay, it's over on page 70-something, and you go over and read it there to help your understanding of whatever you're reading at that point. This isn't a big deal. This is. The only purpose of this, please, I stand up here and I'm really uncomfortable talking about this because of what's down here at the bottom of this. This has nothing to do with anybody. The only purpose of this is to help us to get into this. They say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. It's not true, but that's what they say. What could a chapter a day do? Could it keep me on the Lord's way? Could it help me to continue to do what God wants me to do, to live the life that God wants me to do? Do I desire it? Am I diligent about it? Am I developing my relationship with God? Let's make this year a year that changes us individually and a year that changes us as a congregation. Will you take our elders' challenge today? Let's read through the New Testament together. Let's read it together. Let's next Sunday have already read the first five chapters. So then we walk in here, not that we're going to be checking up on each other, but to know I'm in a church that's reading through the Bible together. And as we read together, let's grow together. By this time next year, where will we be as a congregation, individually and collectively, where will we be when we spend all of this time in reading God's Word together? Let's be transformed into the image of Jesus together. Let's strive together, working together, side by side in this. Let's make this a daily habit. Those people who did not have the completed New Testament, and they did not have all 66 books all put together in something that you can carry around in your hand, the people who did not have the blessings we have searched the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was so. Let's make it a daily habit. But let's do more than that. Let's not just make it about something I do on a day. Let's make it the thing that becomes who we are. That it becomes the relevant thing about me. That it becomes the central thing about who I am and what I am. What was that personal reflection? What I do every day defines me. What if I spend time every day in this book? Will you take this challenge from our elders? There's a copy of this book out in the lobby for all of you. It has the reading schedule in it, both in the front and in the back. Let's work this year as a church. Nobody's going to check on you. The elders aren't going to call you and say, hey, what chapter are you on? The elders aren't going to call and check up on you and make sure you're doing it. That's not the design of it. The design of it is to help us individually. And if it helps us individually, it will help us collectively. I'm going to ask the ushers very quickly to pass out the schedule. I'm not going to go over this, but as we have every year, we have the schedule, the calendar for the new year. And before you leave today, the ushers are going to put into your hand a copy of the calendar of events of everything that we know of as of right now that will be happening this year. So take this home today. Put these things on your calendar. We know we've got Mission Sunday, January 29th. We've got our gospel meeting on March 5th through the 8th with Jeff Jenkins. Jeff was on our lectureship a few years ago. Jeff is Dan Jenkins' nephew. Jeff will be here preaching on God's glorious plan for us the first week of March. We've got our Ladies' Day on April 20th, the third Thursday of April. We've got our Power Up Day, the first Saturday of May. On May 6th is Power Up. And our theme, that's for our men, that's our men's day. Our theme for that day is disabling the devil's devices. And we'll have 5 15-minute power lessons as a part of that day. Steve Higginbotham, who hasn't been here before, he'll be here that weekend for our elders' workshop, for our Power Up. He will be speaking on May 7th on the topic of home, sweet home. And then David Shannon, who's the president of Freed Hardeman University, David Shannon will be here on Sunday, May the 21st. He will be doing a Friends and Family Day for us. The theme for that day is Stronger Relations Begin with God. And he'll have three lessons for us on that Friends and Family Day on May 21st. We've got our Vacation Bible School the second week of June. June 11th through 14th is our Vacation Bible School. Make sure you mark that on your calendars. We've got our Kickstart Your Summer series. We'll have four Wednesday nights where we'll have special guest speakers come in. We've got our homecoming on July 1st and 2nd. We've got our week at Central Florida Bible Camp. The week, I believe, of July 16th and through the 22nd will be our week at Central Florida Bible Camp. We've got our Charged by Christ event for our youth on August 5th. On that Saturday, we've got a parenting seminar on September 16th, Saturday the 16th of September. Parenting seminar, the same folks who did our marriage seminar last year, Wayne and Tammy Roberts doing our parenting seminar September this coming year. And then we've got our lectureship on November 2nd through the 5th. The theme for that this year is You Can Trust Your Bible. A lot of amazing things that are on the calendar for this year. This will be a life-changing year if we'll allow it to be. If we'll get into God's Word and spend a chapter a day helping to keep ourselves on the Lord's way. May God help us. May God help us to grow closer to Him this year. Where are you in your relationship with God right now? As we start this new year, are you where you need to be? Have you been saved by the blood of Jesus? Have you ever done what the Bible says to do in order to be saved? Not what somebody else told you, not what somebody else shared with you. Have you ever done exactly what the Bible says to be saved? Have you followed the steps the Bible gives, where the Bible says, I need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Having that faith in my heart that I need to repent of my sins and turn my life away from my sin and turn my life in the direction of God, change the way that I think so that I can change the way that I live. Are you ready to make that decision today? If you are, you can keep following the steps that are outlined in this book by confessing your faith in Jesus Christ and by being baptized this very day for the remission of your sins. Not be baptized because you're already saved and now that's the day you're going to get baptized. That didn't happen in the Bible. In the Bible, it was always they got baptized so that at that very moment they could have their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. If you've never done that, we've got warm water here and garments and towels ready for you to be baptized today. God will save you from your sins, add you to His church. He'll write your name in heaven, and He pleads with you to live faithfully to Him. Get into His Word. Let His Word get into you so that you can live a life faithful to Him. If you're not where you need to be in your walk with the Lord today, there's a fountain free. God's got it for you. It's available today. If you need it, why don't you come forward as together we stand and sing.